We gather here on the first Sunday of Advent to prepare our hearts and minds to encounter the risen Lord this day. Let us worship together. Wednesday, we'll begin our new Advent Bible study. It's called Incarnation. It's a book by author and pastor Adam Hamilton. If you haven't had a chance to order it, go right ahead and order it. Get it in. If you don't get it in by Wednesday, that's okay. We'll be looking at how the names of Jesus, the names Jesus was given at birth, how they speak to us, continuing to speak to us today. So I hope you'll join me at 6:30 on Wednesday on Facebook Live for our first session of our Advent. I also want to remind you this morning that next Saturday, this coming Saturday, we have a special drive-in time gathering for our church family. You should have received it in our newsletter. You probably received it by mail as well. You'll get it by email this week too. Our deacons want to just welcome their families. If you didn't get a chance to do our Meet Your Deacons breakfast that we do every year because of COVID, this year we're going to do a little drive-through gathering this coming Saturday. It'll be from 10 to 12:30, and your deacon has been assigned the 30-minute time slot. Two deacons each time slot. We just want you to come drive by the shelter upstairs, meet your deacon, greet your deacon. The deacon will greet you as well, and just welcome you to the church body. But we want to encourage everyone to come out next Saturday for this time from 10 to 12:30 on Saturday upstairs at the shelter. Make sure you come in your time slot. Make sure you come on that time slot between 10 or 10:30 or 10:30 and 11, whichever one your deacon will be there for. Next Sunday also will be an opportunity to focus on our missions in our community this year. Next Sunday will be our Salvation Army focus Sunday. We've had opportunities over this last month to partner with Salvation Army through their Angel Tree ministry, their Forgotten Angel ministry, and also reaching out to the seniors in our community. And I want to thank you already for those that have brought items for the Forgotten Angels. I want to thank you for making donations toward the senior adult support ministry that Salvation Army does. But just a reminder, next Sunday morning, during our morning worship service, whether it's in the sanctuary or upstairs in the parking lot, we want to encourage those that are bringing items for those Forgotten Angels. Please bring those items to the worship service next Sunday morning, and so we can gather those and collect those next week. Also, that'll be the time, if you took one of the angels off our angel tree, that'll be the time those gifts are due. So make sure those gifts are returned next Sunday as well. You can bring it by this week, but we definitely need it by next Sunday for our support of Salvation Army. Also, just looking ahead, a couple of the things that we'll be doing during the Advent season you saw in your newsletter this month. The first thing I want to point out is on Friday night, December 11th, we will be having a movie night. It'll be a drive-in movie night, just like the olden days where you got to drive in and sit in your car and watch the movie. We're going to do that up in our parking lot on Friday night, December 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll be showing the movie The Gift, which is an animated version of the Christmas story. And I'm sorry, The Star. I put the wrong name. The Star is an animated version of the Christmas story, and it is a wonderful time. It's a wonderful movie. It's a feel-good movie, but it's for everybody of all ages. So we want you to come on Friday, December 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. for that opportunity. Also coming up in a couple Sundays, we'll have our Christmas music special on Sunday, December 13th. You will not want to miss that time of worship on that Sunday morning. And last but not least, coming up as a central part of our Advent season, we have our Christmas Eve worship service on December 24th. This year, we will have two worship services for our Christmas Eve service. One will be at 4 o'clock, and one will be at 6 o'clock. And starting December 1st, you can call and kind of reserve your spot for the worship time. I do want to let you know something that was not posted in the newsletter. Is I know many are not comfortable gathering in our sanctuary for worship right now, and I understand that. But that 4 o'clock worship service, that Christmas Eve service, we are going to do outside, upstairs, as a drive-in worship time. If you're able to come to that service, we encourage you to do so. And we'll do every element that we normally do for our Christmas Eve worship. But it will be a time of gathering. So the 4 o'clock service will be upstairs as a drive-in service. The 6 o'clock worship service will be here in the sanctuary for Christmas Eve. Many other opportunities coming up in the life of our church during this Advent season. All an attempt and a focus on putting our focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let us gather this morning. Let us sing together
going to sing praise to God for what He is doing and for what He has done.
Our opening hymn this morning is Blessed Be the God of Israel. Not a very familiar Advent hymn, but you'll catch the tune as we sing. Let's stand and worship together.
The light shines in the darkness,
light our first candle on the Advent wreath this season. Let us focus on the meaning of these words that Bill just read for us. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, in this season of waiting, of longing, of looking for you to come into our world, we are seeking light in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our work, in our nation, in our world, even in our worship this day. We are seeking light. You promised in Scripture, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Ask and it will be given to you. Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. May we have eyes to see you and ears to hear you this day in our worship service. May we open ourselves to you. Heavenly Father, come into our world today. Let us see that light. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Let's stand and worship together, all four verses.
Thank you.
are reminded to stay awake for the coming of your Son. Jesus' love often comes into our lives in quiet and unexpected ways. Today, we generously respond to this compassion and commit ourselves to living in a manner worthy of your love. In anticipation of this coming, Father, accept these gifts that we bring to you. For Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Special music this morning. As we prepare for this time of worship, as we look at God's word and as we reflect on the words that he has given us today, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. While we ask the Lord for the most meaningful Advent season ever, we come to you this morning confessing that we have done so little with so much that you have given us. Forgive us, Lord, for not bending the knee. Forgive us, Lord, for not reading the book. Forgive us, Lord, for not searching our hearts, for not facing our sins. Deal with us according to your tender mercies, O God. Grant that when Christmas morning breaks for us this year, we may have a fresh sense of your presence and a renewed resolve to live for you and to praise the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to you in this season anticipating you moving us in a new way. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning, First Baptist Elon. Good morning to those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning. Good morning to those that are watching via Facebook Live this morning with your family and friends. And for those that are listening via our website or our CD ministry, we want to just give you a thank you for coming and enjoying this time of worship this morning. I hope you've been touched by the music, the reading, and the lighting of our first Advent candle on our Advent wreath. The decorations that many of our faithful church members put together during this Thanksgiving holiday to get the sanctuary prepared for the season of Advent. It is a new season. It is a season where we are called to anticipate and to prepare ourselves for experiencing the Christ child. Now, you might say, well, I've done that many times before, and yes, we do this every single Christmas season, but every single Christmas season, we come to this time different, changed, a new people. So as we anticipate and as we prepare to see how Christ is going to move this year in the season of Advent, I ask that you open your hearts and open your minds to see what he may be speaking to you. You would notice something this Sunday. First off, you'll notice that I'm here, and that's a blessing. It's good to be back from vacation. I enjoyed my time away with my family this past week. I want to give a special thank you to Jeff Pritchard, who filled in the pulpit for me last Sunday, Gabe for leading the worship time last Sunday. Jeff preached a powerful service, so I had a chance to listen to it. I actually watched it on Sunday last week as the service was going on. It was truly a blessing to hear God speaking through Jeff last Sunday. So that's one thing different. The second thing different, you will notice I'm still wearing a mask. Now, as you have heard, the governor of North Carolina has increased the emphasis on the importance of wearing masks during this COVID-19 pandemic. Now, I will share with you the church's exempt a little bit from some of the changes that he has made, but we are not immune from this pandemic. We're not immune from this virus. And so during this Advent season, I'll be wearing a mask every Sunday. You notice our worship singers were wearing masks as they sang today. This is something that we want to just emphasize the importance of this simple thing that we all can do. So if you're at home and you cannot hear me, turn your volume up a little bit higher. Hopefully I won't be too muffled this morning as I preach this morning. And I just pray that my glasses won't get fogged up too much, that I'll be able to see my words this morning. So, but we are here this season and on this first Sunday in Advent to prepare ourselves. And with a worldwide pandemic that touches our community in an impactful way, our approach and practice of Christmas this year may look and feel a little bit different. We just passed Thanksgiving, and it probably was a little bit different than it has been in the past. So this season, knowing and recognizing this, I thought we would look at the Advent season and Christmas maybe in a little bit different way as well. Maybe instead of focusing on the grand and the big, maybe this year our focus should be on the small. The smaller things that we experience during this Christmas season. And in doing so, maybe we recognize how big the gift of the Christ child was, but how that can be found even in the small things. Starting this Sunday and leading up to Christmas Eve, I will be preaching a sermon series titled Christmas in the Small Details. I hope, considering the state of our community and the state of our world, that you will find a little extra meaning in the small this Advent season. This morning, the scripture passage we're going to look at the story of Zechariah, found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25 this morning. But I want you to go ahead and turn there, but before I get to reading that passage, I want to share a story that I came across a couple years ago. And I'll be honest, I may have shared this with you before, but I think it speaks to the sense of this season and this passage. So, imagine a court scene. A judge sitting up in front of the court, jury over to the right, prosecutor on one side, defendant, the defense attorney, and the defendant sitting on the other. A defendant has been accused of murder, and he's sitting there waiting for the final word spoken by the lawyers to take place. Now, there was strong evidence indicating that the defendant was guilty, but the only thing that was not found, the only thing that was not there, that linchpin piece of evidence was the dead body. They could never find the dead body. All the other details said pointed at this defendant being guilty. Well, the defense attorney realized that his client was in trouble. He realized where this court case and what the verdict was going to be. So, knowing that this verdict was probably likely, he resorted to a trick. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a surprise for you. looked down at his watch. In just 1 minute, within 1 minute, the person that you presume dead in this case will walk into the courtroom. And he looked toward the courtroom door. And the entire jury and everybody in the trial room turned to look at the courtroom door. A minute passed, but nothing happened. Finally, the lawyer said this: "Actually, I made up this previous statement. Nevertheless, you all looked back at that door, expecting for the man to walk through. Jury, that is what you call reasonable doubt. And in this case, to whether anybody was killed or not, I insist that you must return a verdict of not guilty." The jury was clearly confused, and they eventually retired to deliberate the case. A few minutes later, the jury returned and pronounced the verdict: guilty. Guilty as charged. Well, the defense attorney could not hold his tongue any longer. He said, How in the world can you say that this, my client, is guilty? You must have some doubt. I saw all of you look back at that door, expecting for the man to walk through." The jury foreperson replied, "Oh yes, we as the jurors all looked at that door, expecting for the man to go through. Everybody in this courtroom did, except your client, the defendant. He did not." You see, doubt is a prevalent emotion in life these days, even in the life of faithful followers of God. Yes, the jurors had enough doubt or curiosity to look at the door, but this doubt did not prevent them from doing their appointed job, from doing their given job, to bring back a verdict. As we look at our focus passage this morning from Luke, we will see a man, Zechariah, who walked faithfully with the Lord, yet doubt still existed when sent a divine message. Sprinkled with a little doubt, Zechariah remained faithful to the message, not settling on unbelief, and serves as a little reminder this season of what Advent is all about. Turn to your Gospel, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25 this morning. And as you turn with the Jewish people under the reign of the Roman Empire, ruled by the appointed Herod the Great, a half-Jewish leader simply appointed to keep the peace for Rome, but at the same time he was lining his own pockets with finances and political power. This is the setting for the reading of our passage this morning. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. All the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When our service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. As we think about this story of Zechariah this morning, I think there's three things that really capture our hearts this Advent season and that little aspect of doubt. Even when we are living a faithful life for God, even when we're doing everything that God desires us to do, a little doubt can get sprinkled in. For 400 years, the Jewish people had been waiting for the Savior, the Messiah who would restore the people and the free nation, free the nation from the Roman rule. 400 years. The prophets from the Old Testament, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Malachi, foretold of his coming, this king, this Messiah. This is the environment of where this story takes place. Zechariah, a man of priestly descent, and Elizabeth from the very lineage of Aaron himself, the original priest himself, were living lives that were described in Scripture as righteous and blameless. However, they were childless, a state that wore heavily on both of their minds. In addition, the fact that they were older in years did not lead to this state of barrenness changing. Zechariah, a priest by calling, was tending to his duties in the temple. At that time in history, at this point in history, there were 20,000 priests throughout the country of Israel, a number that was far too great just for simply tending to the temple. These priests were divided into 24 separate groups, 1,000 priests in each group, with Zechariah of the Bijah division. Priestly duties in that time were to lead in worship, as we see today, tend to the temple, and one priest each day would enter the inner sanctuary, the inner sacred room, to burn incense before the Lord. The fact that Zechariah was chosen that day was no coincidence at all, with lots being cast to determine the daily priest, an event that might happen once in a lifetime. And on this day, Zechariah was called to enter the inner sanctuary. As Zechariah entered the inner room that day, no doubt that fact that he and Elizabeth had no children still weighed on his mind. And without a doubt, he would have brought that prayer to God that day. So when the angel Gabriel appears, this is the same angel that will appear to Mary just a few verses later, and shares the news that he and Elizabeth would be blessed with a son, one would think he would accept this as an answer to prayers, a thanksgiving, a time of thanksgiving like we just celebrated with our family and friends a couple days ago. But, he had a little doubt. Now, he surely knew the story of Abraham and Sarah from old, who were blessed with a son later in their age. I'm sure he actually read about that, taught about that. A prayer was being answered, yet even in the midst of a living a lifelong of faith, a life that was centered on God, down creeped in his mind. Even the most faithful followers of God can go through times in our lives when we have doubt. Doubt that God is listening. Doubt that God is present in our lives. Doubt that causes us to turn to other individuals or other things rather than the one true God. The ultimate question is, what do we do with that doubt? That brings us to the second thing we can examine from Zechariah's life. Even when he was having a life-changing experience with God, a little doubt got sprinkled in. When Zechariah is surprised when the angel Gabriel appears to him, who can blame him for being afraid? I mean, he is standing face to face with a divine being. I would be afraid too, wouldn't you? Without a doubt. What human can stand face to face with the presence of the divine and not be afraid? That is why the first words that Gabriel speaks to him, if you look back at Scripture, is this: do not be afraid. How many times do we hear those words spoken to us by God from his mouth through someone else on his behalf? Do not be afraid. Gabriel was there to affirm to this righteous man that his prayers had been heard. In the holiest place in the temple, the inner sanctuary, that is where God was revealing himself to the priest Zechariah. Truly a life-changing experience. However, the response by Zechariah was sprinkled with little doubt. And maybe it was the fact that he and Elizabeth were well past the age of conceiving a child. Maybe it was the message that the angel said, that the son would be named John, which means the Lord is gracious, and that he should be raised as a Nazarite from birth, similar to what we just talked about in our Bible study in Judges 13. Maybe it was the fact that his son would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even while he was in Elizabeth's womb. Maybe it was the responsibility and call that John would take, turning many from the nation back to God, like Elijah, and preparing the nation to be encountered by the Lord. We don't know the reason. Whatever the reason, or the sum of reasons, Zechariah still showed doubt in the midst of this life-changing experience. He asked for a sign, even though a sign was standing right in front of him in the form of Gabriel. Each of us can probably testify to a life-changing experience with God. I'm not saying that the angel Gabriel appeared to you. If that is the case, that is a wonderful divine experience. But a moment where our understanding and our relationship with God has been focused and has been centered on the fact that God is doing something in your life. Maybe this moment occurred in the midst of deep prayer with God. Or maybe this experience might occur in the worship service, in a worship space like this, as our hearts are in tune with Him. Maybe the life-changing moment happened while on the mission field, tending to the least of these in society. Maybe it was a life-changing experience that took place in the midst of stress and turmoil, health, financial, spiritual, or otherwise. Even though we can remember and attest to these events in our lives, it does not prevent doubt from creeping in. It's not a wall. In the midst of anxiety or stress, in the midst of confusion and chaos, in the midst of a pandemic, doubt can still be present in our lives. The question is, what do we do with it? The final lesson I think we can learn from Zechariah's life is this. Even when we are sprinkled with a little doubt, our response to God serves as a testimony not only to who He is, but for others to see in us. The presence of the angel Gabriel was not enough for sign for Zechariah. Another sign was given. One, he did the inability to speak until his son John would be born. He said, how will I truly know? Well, you're going to be silent for 9+ months. How's that a sign for you? Imagine that. Imagine not being able to speak a word for 9+ months. But we've got to remember what Zechariah was called to do. He was a priest. He was a priest. Would he be able to teach without words? Now, Zechariah's responsibility as a priest following the burning of the incense within the inner room of the temple would be to come out to the crowds who were present because of seeing the incense going basically through the chimney up top. And as that was being burned and seen, the people would gather. Zechariah's responsibility was to go outside after his time in the inner sanctuary and to utter and speak a blessing upon all those who had gathered, as was written in Numbers chapter 6. Yet, Zechariah could not speak. He could not go out and utter a blessing upon the people. But instead, the crowds knew from Zechariah's actions and his lack of words that he had experienced a vision, an encounter with God in the temple, a life-changing experience. Even without the ability to speak, Scripture tells us that Zechariah continued his priestly duties until his time was up. We often forget that in the story. He didn't come out and immediately rush home to Elizabeth. He came out and continued to do his job. He then returned home to Elizabeth, and their son John was conceived. Elizabeth remained secluded for 5 months, even though the pain and the isolation and the suffering of not having a child was being taken away. Every day, Elizabeth looked at Zechariah, her husband, a man without words, and was reminded of God's presence and answer to their call. No, wives, she wasn't saying, thank the Lord he can't speak. When she looked at Zechariah, she saw God, God's answer to her prayers. Despite the doubt of ever having a child and the doubt initially expressed by Zechariah, this couple remained faithful to God in the bad times and the good. Their lives served as a testimony to the presence of God, working in the past, working in the present, and his plan to change the future. How do we respond to doubt that's sprinkled in our lives? Do we keep our heads down like Zechariah, continuing to do the work of the Lord? Do we always plan for us like Elizabeth and Zechariah did? Do we remember that those experiences, those life-changing experiences in our lives that moves us into a deeper relationship with God? Or do we instead turn our backs on God, who has a grander plan for us than we could ever possibly imagine? Our response to that doubt speaks volumes of who we are as Christians and can serve as the ultimate testimony, that testimony that everybody needs to see and experience through our actions and through our words. In closing, Christian theologian Paul Tillich once wrote these words: doubt isn't the opposite of faith, it's an element of faith. We can be thankful this day on the tail end of Thanksgiving and the front end of the Advent. Advent season of the testimony of Zechariah and Elizabeth. May we be equally thankful that our God, even in the midst of our doubt, embraces us as his own vessels, called to make a difference in this world. A sprinkling of doubt is not so bad, but our response to it makes all the difference. What is your response this Advent season? Let's pray. Father, as we are just entering the season of Advent, we can be reminded of the presence of God in the little things and the small things, but it's also not unusual maybe just to have a little bit of doubt, even in the midst of the pandemic, even in the midst of this season that will look and feel different this year. Even in the midst of our faithfulness to you, Father, we may have a little few moments of that doubt. Father, may we remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth this morning. May we remember the lies and the testimony of their faithfulness. Even in the midst of Zechariah's doubt, he still followed your plan. And Father, where we encounter doubt this season, may we turn to you, the one who has made this season what it is. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus, the risen Lord, the child that came in flesh. Amen. As we come to the time of invitation this morning, maybe this day you have been reminded that doubt has creeped in your life. That's okay. It's okay. Zechariah even had doubt. Maybe for the first time, though, you recognize that doubt should not prevent me from encountering God. Maybe you haven't experienced Jesus as the risen Lord this day because of that doubt. If that is your answer today, if you're ready to embrace him like he is embracing you, I encourage you to come down front this morning. If you're watching on Facebook Live this morning, feel free to call the church or contact the church this day. Or maybe today you're looking for an imperfect church family, but a church family that even through the midst of everything that's going on, seeks to honor God, keep their heads down, and to work and make a difference in this world. This church body, this church family, First Baptist Elon is the church for you. I encourage you to come down front or call me, contact me this week, and we'll talk about what it means to be a part of a living, loving community here at the church. Or maybe just today, after coming off the tail end of Thanksgiving, you have a little doubt. Things were different. Things are going to be different this Christmas season. And maybe just for today, you recognize maybe I shouldn't be looking at the large picture, but focusing on the little things. If that's what you need to do, the altar is open. I'll come pray with you if you want to come down out front. I'll pray with you this morning as well. Contact me this week, whatever it is. But it's okay to have that little doubt. Well, what are you going to do? Let's sing together.
Closing hymn this morning is "I Need Thee Every Hour."
attending with Barry and Barbara for many, many months now, has come to transfer her membership here to First Baptist Church of Elon. I told Delana that she's just a part of the family already, so it's not a lot of change. But we're going to make the paperwork official this morning. And as I told her, I said, we don't vote anybody in here at church. That's not our responsibility. However, we do affirm and embrace those that come. So this morning, if you affirm and embrace Delana and promise to support her and love her through your prayers, but also to work beside her for many, many years to come as a faithful follower of God, I'll encourage you to stand at this time. Delana, you see everybody in this congregation that is standing on your behalf. I can guarantee we've got lots of people standing on Facebook Live this morning commenting on it. But we look forward to continuing to serve alongside you for many, many years to come. And we give thanks this day. Today is a great day, a day of thanksgiving. As let's go out and be reminded that no matter where we go, we serve as a testimony, just as Zechariah and Elizabeth did many, many years ago. Even when we have that little bit of doubt, God is still calling us to make a difference in this world. Go in peace. Now let's make a difference. Amen.